We begin again the discussion of our Heidelberg Catechism this morning, Alice. Question 1 and 2 of Lord's Day 1. That is based, by the way, on many passages of Holy Writ. As, for instance, the one I read this morning, Alice. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord double for all her sin. And so there are, in fact, the whole scripture is full of what the Heidelberg Catechism here teaches about the comfort of the people of God. What is thine only comfort in life and in death? To die with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from all the power of the devil, and so preserved me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto him. How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? 3. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. A long time ago, beloved, in fact, when I was still in school, I was told that a certain minister in the Christian Reformed Church preached at least 30 times on this first Lord's Day. In fact, that must have been exaggerated. But the one that told me said that, in fact, he preached not on the Lord's Day, the first Lord's Day, but only on the first question, without the answer. And now that is perhaps possible, but that is not the purpose of this first Lord's Day, beloved. It's possible, of course, if you bear in mind what particular parts of the truth are confessed here, especially in this first question and answer. You could easily preach more than 30 times. Let's listen. First of all, what is thy only comfort? And that can be elaborated upon very readily to explain in detail the idea of the Christian comfort. Besides, He says, what is thy only comfort? Only comfort. There is no other comfort than this. And again, besides the question asked, what is thy only comfort in life and in death? That's a tremendous shame, beloved. The only comfort in life and in death. That's the question. And the answer, as I read, is, first of all, that I'm not my own. That is the content of this comfort in the negative sense of the word. But I'm not my own. And positively, I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Moreover, the answer has it, beloved, not only that I'm not my own and belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, but it says, with body and soul, with my whole life. That is my comfort. And I belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ in life and in death. And that is indeed comfort. And I say once more, you can easily explain all these different elements of the Lord's Day 1. So that you can have several sins now. Moreover, the blood of Jesus Christ has fully satisfied for all my sins. That is the idea of satisfaction and reconciliation. Moreover, but he has also delivered me from all the power of the devil. That is deliverance from sin and sanctification and everlasting life. And besides, he preserves me, I confess, in this first Lord's Day. He preserves me. So preserves me that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Heavenly Father, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Of this I'm assured, otherwise there's no comfort. I'm assured of all this by the Holy Spirit. And he assures me of eternal life. And then finally, he makes me, that is, my faithful Savior, through his Holy Spirit, and makes me willing, sincerely willing, and ready to live unto him. And that, I say, is a very rich and comprehensive question and answer. But we make a mistake if we elaborate on all these different ideas. The purpose of this first Lord's Day, beloved, is introductory. And all the rest of the catechism must follow. And that introduction we hope to preach and proclaim in this morning hour. And therefore we speak on the comfort of belonging to Jesus. And we first of all ask the question, what is comfort? What is this only comfort? Secondly, we will try to briefly enter into the contents of that comfort. And lastly, we will call your attention to the all-comprehensive character of that comfort. Comfort, beloved, is a very beautiful word, also a very scriptural term. And I would like to define comfort in general as that state of mind according to which I am aware and sure of a very favorable reality, and that too in opposition to a very unfavorable reality. That is comfort. And therefore, beloved, we must beware that we do not explain this comfort as a sort of a feeling. It's not a feeling. A feeling is vague. Comfort is very definite. A feeling is not always the same. I may feel today that I am saved, and tomorrow I may feel that I'm so unworthy that I cannot be saved. That's a feeling. That's not a question here. A feeling, beloved, is it is a state of heart and mind, all right, in a certain sense. But it is more a state of my emotions. And because it is a state of my emotions, and therefore, feeling is by no means always the same. That we must remember. And that is not the idea of the catechism at all. Remember, beloved, I may in parentheses say a few things about this Heidelberg Catechism in this connection. The Catechism is not a mere objective confession, as is, for instance, the case with the 37 articles of faith. The Catechism is not a dogmatic, setting forth systematically the truth of the Word of God. It isn't. The Catechism, and that's why I say this, a connection with the knowledge of belonging to the Savior. The Catechism is a personal account of the Christian concerning his salvation. That makes the Catechism so beautiful. I never get tired of preaching on the Catechism. And I know that you do not get tired of listening to the preaching of the Catechism. And, beloved, the Catechism, from the point of view of the personal account of the Christian, speaks very personally of salvation, of the whole of salvation. It speaks not in a general way. The first question, beloved, is not what is comfort. The first question is not, are you saved? And is that your comfort? No. The question is personal. And although many people do not like to enter into their personal spiritual life, that is wrong, beloved. You and I must be willing to answer before God and before one another this question, this personal question: what is thy only comfort in life and in death? That is Christian. And you understand, of course, beloved. And when we make our faith a feeling, you cannot answer that question. In fact, you cannot answer any question concerning salvation. Not at all. Suppose you say, oh, I feel that I belong to Christ. I feel that I have the only comfort. That doesn't give account of the content of that comfort. Not at all. And therefore, I say once more, we must not explain the only comfort as a feeling of salvation. On the contrary, comfort is knowledge. Oh, to be sure, comfort is not only cold knowledge. That has nothing to do with a feeling of happiness. But comfort as a feeling of happiness cannot exist, beloved, unless we first state that comfort is knowledge. That's also in the second question of this First Lord's Day, don't you know? How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou and joy in this comfort, mayest live and die happily. Three things. First, I must know. In order to have the comfort, I must know. Three things. First, that I know my sins and miseries. No, that I know how great my sins and miseries are. Secondly, how I may be delivered from all my sins and misery. Thirdly, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. Therefore, beloved, I said a moment ago that comfort is the knowledge of a favorable reality, and that too in opposition to the knowledge of a very unfavorable reality. In this case, of course, as far as the Christian comfort is concerned, the favorable reality is salvation. Or, as the Catechism expresses it, the favorable reality is that I'm not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. That's the favorable reality. And the unfavorable reality that stands opposed to that favorable reality is my sins, my guilt, my corruption, my death. That is the unfavorable reality. Remember, those two are not simply opposed to each other, so that I can indeed rejoice in my salvation in the fact that I belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, but at the same time I'm also conscious and I know that I lie in the midst of death. Oh no, that is not the case. That's why I said, or at least we'll say now, if we didn't say it, that the favorable reality so far overshadows the unfavorable reality that I would be willing to go through that unfavorable state of mind and soul and body 1,000 times rather than lose the favorable reality. The favorable reality, therefore, beloved, no, I will never say that it simply overshadows. The favorable reality is so great that it forever removes the unfavorable reality. the fact that I belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ is an all-overpowering fact. So that although I am aware that by nature I lie in the midst of sin and death, nevertheless, I'm aware of the fact that I so belong to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ that He will remove all that belongs to sin and death. That is comfort. No, that is the Christian comfort. And that is comfort in life. And that is comfort again. I hope, beloved, that when before long I lie on my deathbed, I can cry with the Heidelberg Catechism, my only comfort in life and in death is not that I did something, not that I preached, and not that I did so many good works, but that I know that in the day of judgment, I can point to Christ and not to myself. And that in the day of judgment, I can say to Christ, I belong to Thee. That's enough. I belong to Thee with all that I am and with all that I do. And there, I belong to Thee. Thou art responsible for me. And that, beloved, is at the same time the true content of this comfort of which the Catechism speaks. Notice, as I already said, the Catechism defines this comfort, first of all, negatively, and then positively. The negative part of my only comfort in life and death is that I'm not my own. I am not my own. That's it. What a marvelous confession that is, beloved. I'm not my own. No natural man will ever say that. Only the Christian will say that. Only the Christian says, I am not my own. That means three things, beloved. It means in the first place, that I am not the possessor of myself. I don't possess myself. That first of all. Body or soul? I'm not my own. I am not the possessor of my body and all that my body implies. I am not the possessor of my eyes, my ears, my brain. And the second place, it applies, beloved, that I am not my own sovereign. I have no authority. No authority to will as I will, to think as I think. That's negative, but very important. I'm not my own. It certainly implies, in the third place, that I am not responsible for myself. Don't change that, beloved. I don't say that I'm not responsible before God for what I do. No, no. But I am not responsible for myself because I'm not my own. That is the negative part. And, beloved, that is very important to say that I am my own is the very principle of sin. That's what Adam said in paradise. God said to him, thou art mine. Thou art not thine own. Thou art mine. And therefore, I have authority over thee, and therefore thou must obey me, and therefore to catch that, I say to thee, do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Adam said, tempted by the devil and tempted by Eve, he said, and now I am my own. I'm not God's, I'm my own. That's sin. That's the principle of sin, dear. The deepest principle of sin is exactly that. To say before God, I'm not thine, I'm my own. I do as I please. I'm my own sovereign. I'm responsible for myself. I'm not accountable to thee at all. That's the sinner. And how blessed the conversion that was, beloved. When man was so turned around by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he now says, this is my only comfort in life and in death, that I am not my own. And positively, the element, the positive element of that, of this comfort is, beloved, I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the positive element of the compass. And that too, beloved, means in the first place that Christ possesses me objectively and subjectively, that I confess that Christ possesses me. He possesses me enough because He is my Creator. That too, of course, a Son of God with the Father and the Holy Ghost, He is my Creator, and therefore He also possesses me. But that is not the idea. The idea is, beloved, that Christ possesses me because He bought me. He purchased me. He paid the price for me and for my complete redemption and for my complete deliverance from all the power of the devil. That's what He did. He bought me. He bought me with the most precious price you can possibly imagine. As the Apostle Peter says, we are redeemed not with gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord. The blood of Christ, the blood of the Son of God, come in human flesh. He paid as the price of my redemption. And therefore, I belong to Him in the sense that He possesses me. And that He possesses my body and my soul. And that He possesses me in life and in death. And that He possesses me for time and eternity. And because He possesses me, beloved, therefore, He has complete sovereign authority over me. And that sovereign authority is not a mere cold sovereignty, but is the sovereignty of love. That in the second place. And in the third place, of course, it means, beloved, that now Christ is responsible for me. He is responsible for me to God. And being responsible for me, for my body and for my soul, in the present life or in death, He saved me and leads me, as the Catechism has it, in the way of eternal life. Well, I could say much more about this, but I must briefly still call your attention to the all comprehensive nature of that comfort as it is expressed in the Habitable Catechism. By all comprehensive, beloved, I mean that it includes my whole being, and that it includes my whole life, and that it includes my death, and that it includes my everlasting life. You know, that is sometimes denied by the world or by modern Christianity. Modern Christianity often accuses the people of God that they are what they call otherworldly. They want to have nothing to do with the present world and with the present time. Oh, I know that there are some so-called Christians that assume this attitude. We may probably call them Sunday Christians. Sunday Christians. They're part of the time they are Christians. They're Christians when they come to church and worship. And on Monday, whatever they are, at the shop, or in the business, or in the office, they have nothing to do with this company. So that's Sunday Christian. But beloved, that is not the catechism. The catechism does not merely say that the Lord to whom I belong saves me from eternal death and gives me eternal glory and eternal life. Oh no. The catechism says, beloved, in the first place, that I belong to my faithful Savior, with body and soul and in life and in death. That's true. And therefore, the catechism says at the end of this answer, he makes me sincerely willing to serve him with my whole life. That's not otherworldliness, beloved. Oh, it doesn't mean either that the children of God, as they often have nowadays, puts the world upside down. Oh no. That's not our business. We don't put the world upside down. We don't even care to put the world upside down. That's not our business. But although we do not put the world upside down, and although we can never put the world upside down, we nevertheless are sincerely willing and purpose to serve the one to whom I belong in life, that is the present life, and in death, and therefore, beloved, to all eternity. That's all comprehension. It means that we are united with Christ in all things. We are united with Christ in all the spheres and stages of our life in this world, before death, as well as in eternity. Don't you know? We belong to Christ in a marriage relationship. Ever say to Christ in that marriage relationship, in the relation between man and wife and children and parents at home, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? We say, beloved, the same thing in the school. Because Christ is responsible for me and for my children. Because I belong to Christ with body and soul and life and death. Therefore, we have Christian schools, beloved. And therefore, we want to keep the truth also in the school. And therefore, we have Protestant Reform schools. Don't you forget it. That's it. We belong to Christ in society. I don't mean societies in the church. I mean society in general in the world. We belong. And also that does not mean, beloved, that we praise the good brother, but it means that we reveal to him in shop or office or wherever we are or wherever we live, we reveal to him that we belong to Christ, and so on and so forth. That's true in the state, that's true in the church, that is true in life and death with body and soul, that's true for all eternity. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I say that, beloved, in your heart. Say that in your mind. Hallelujah! I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks, O Lord, for thy beautiful word, for thy saving word, for the word that assures us that we are not our own, but that we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, in life and death, in body and soul, for time in eternity. Amen.